Gotcha. Give mind to the things you've tried. I'm the one that can satisfy you.
Welcome to Nodcast, episode 185. They're forgetting. You want an apple pie? There's a $2 for $1.
Oh, Fuzz, you do that so well.
Oh, I thank you.
You are our show's very own McDonald's fry girl.
Yay!
I'm Saverin.
Caution, contents may be hot.
I'm horrified.
And that's Fuzzwolf over there.
Hello.
So, it's been a week. Boy, has it been a week.
And it's Friday.
Ding, fries are done.
Friday. Oh, you know, my favorite cover of Rebecca Black's Friday is this guy on YouTube that does a pitch-perfect imitation of Meatloaf, and he does Meatloaf singing Friday.
What?
And he does it on the piano with the really grand kind of sound, you know, and it really sounds...
I'm going to have to see this
it's
now.
Friday. You know, it's...
It sounds like Meatloaf.
Kicking in the front seat. You know, and he hits the high notes and everything. It's incredible. It sounds just like him. So funny.
Secretly, it is Meatloaf.
Yeah, totally. Apparently, he's done, like, not parody covers, but, like, imitation kind of covers of, like, a bunch of different artists. Just happens to be a talented vocalist, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, so here it is. So, normally it doesn't matter if we're a little late on a Friday, but unfortunately, I have to work a few hours tomorrow.
So we have to get on running.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was still going to banter a little bit, I guess, but, yeah, I had to leave work early yesterday, so I'm working 3 hours tomorrow. And then we're heading out of town for a day and a half to visit friends in Austin, which would be nice.
I haven't been down to Austin in a while. I really like it down there.
I haven't either. You know, I don't remember the last time I was down there, actually.
I used to have friends down there I visited occasionally, but I've just nothing really.
Yeah.
So... But then again, I've lost a lot of my contacts from out of town. Uh-huh. I guess with so many local furs, it's... You kind of hit saturation for exactly how many friendships you can juggle. And if they're all right here, then, you know. So,
you know, I've got some... Oh, Saverin found the lame-ass article. Okay.
Yep.
So, real quick, what are y'all's weekend plans? Do you have anything big on the agenda?
Nothing, really.
Oh, right! Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
If you're hearing this, you're too late. It's sold out.
Yeah, by the time people hear this, I will have been bent over and well-lubed because it's Furry Fiesta dealer registration weekend.
All right.
And that means, yeah, I'm going to get fucked.
By all the dealers. That's how we know, you know.
that's how you sign up.
And we all have to watch.
Oh, but yeah, it's interesting. Last year, so year one for Furry Fiesta, we were still growing it, and it actually took us from when we opened in mid-July to we got our last dealer at MFM.
Yeah, we were a grower, not a shower the first year.
So second year, I think it took us like 2 days for us to get sold out, and we had grown the room from 18 tables to like 30. So we hadn't quite doubled, but we had certainly grown a good deal.
This year we have 4,000 tables.
No, not quite that.
Oh, 11,000.
Then year three, it was 4 hours. And then year four, it was 2 hours. And that's because it just took me 2 hours to go through all the applications.
Yeah.
So, yes. It tends to be a mite busy on dealer's registration weekend. So, I'm expecting tomorrow to be all dealers then. A lot.
Yeah. So you have a busy day.
Yeah.
But a very important day. So.
Well, it's going to be a very con-filled day because after that we've got one of our staff meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Saturday is just going to be all con, all day long. Con. Sunday, planning to go out to dinner at the lovely Babes.
Mm.
I love Babes. It's a great chicken place. Try to remember. There's something else I wanted to do. Can't remember what it is. It's not super important. But,
mm-hmm.
This is a weekend I've been gearing up for months.
The time approaches. The time of chaos is at hand.
I don't know how many of my dealers listen to this, but yeah. God help me.
So, Savern, what about you?
More recording. I have to sign up for a table. My weekend's looking to be exciting because I also have car stuff that I need to get done.
Oh, okay.
So, it's not terribly going to be that terribly exciting. But hey, you know, what do you know? I'm sure I'll have fun. So,
oh, I like this.
Geeks of Doom, cute. Huh?
It's adorable. Adorkable. Like me. Okay, so, yes. I saw this on Twitter the other day, and I retweeted it. There was a retarded article on the internet. I know, that never happens, right?
I know, right?
But this was a retarded article.
It's always well thought out and sourced and cited, you know?
Totally. This was a retarded article about furries at San Diego Comic Con.
So basically, don't need to tell you the website's name. They're a bunch of fucking idiots. But they're complaining about how, like, Comic-Con International banned strollers this year,
mm-hmm.
and fursuits are still allowed, but they've always been allowed. Basically, this person's saying, well, they can't have strollers, but you can. There's these people in fuzzy costumes that are probably all cum-stained disease rags.
So how did they get from strollers are evil to fursuits are evil?
No, it's like they're like, I don't have to. I wonder if the management considered that without means of strapping the young'uns into a cloth prison with wheels, there's a good possibility that the number of wandering children on the convention floor will multiply exponentially. Obviously, I don't have to explain to anyone reading why the Pettibear cosplayers are likely giddy with excitement by this filament, but the problem is those goddamn yiffing furies.
Yeah, they F-U-R-I-E-S also have really...
in this scenario is worth an explanation.
Yeah.
So, are they implying that furries are going to come have public fursuit sex at San Diego Comic Con?
With children, apparently.
Is this person clinically retarded? I think they are. And what's funny is, like, all the comments are like, Jesus, fuck, you're retarded. Yeah. There's actually a comment that's like, are you retarded? And it's like, people shouldn't bring children to small teeny stroller to Comic-Con anyway. Yeah. Is this one of those, what? And they're implying that furries have fursuits, and they called it, you know, but you're putting the kids at risk for contracting herpeturgus A, B, and C, as well as Lord knows what else.
Well, those goddamn yipping fursuits with their cum.
I mean, this is just... It's... You can't describe this as any other way that, like, this is retarded. A person with diminished mental capacity wrote this article. There is no way that anybody with a shred of any sort of, like, personal ethics and morality would write this something ridiculous and off base and just out there bullshit.
Yeah, it's pretty derpageddon, which is why it's on topic for this week's episode.
Yeah, well, I mean, see, this week's topic is just silly absent-mindedness and derp, you know, in that hopefully didn't blow some stuff. This is just a dumbass. You, sir, I award you no points. May God have mercy on your soul. And I've given you a 1-star on iTunes. So fuck you.
Just Jesus Christ.
iTunes warfare, motherfuckers.
What?
Oh, I don't know.
They have a podcast or something, I guess.
They actually have two. They also have a Doctor Who podcast.
Is this this group, the one that did the rant?
You see why I don't associate with the Doctor Who fandom anymore? Not that this person is representative, but...
They also can't keep a schedule for shit.
No.
Yeah.
Fucking casuals.
Casual! See, we're furries, we're on time.
Well,
we release on the same once a week at least.
Yeah.
You know, we have a schedule. The day is a little wibbly, but we do at least put one episode within every 7-day block.
Well, mostly.
Mostly.
We've been really good lately.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We're one of the most reliable podcasts. I mean, and I don't brag lightly, but you know, we have not really had a pod fade incident, you know, and when we were off the air earlier in the year when we took a break between like FC and Fiesta, we were kind of like, we're going to be on break these weeks
and
because
actually,
I'm out of town and Saverin's out of town and then there's something else going on. And we came back when we said we were going to come back. So.
Yep. It's like, we may be awful on several ways, but we're at least consistent.
Consistently awful.
Well, yeah.
Hey, own what you got.
Yeah, that's an expression I saw you use, and like I don't know if that's just a thing or you know.
Well, it's just one of those things. It's like, oh, you're a loose cannon. Oh, you're arrogant. Oh, you're. It's like, well, yeah, I kind of am. Or, oh, you're a loose cannon is like a disparaging comment. Well, yeah, I'll speak my mind.
Uh huh.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Have you either of you two seen the new Spider-Man yet?
Not yet.
Nope.
I haven't heard anything too exciting though.
Oh, it's awesome.
I've heard
people
really
are like,
it.
This is the laziest fucking reboot ever.
I don't know. I liked it a lot.
I don't. It's like, hey, look, it's Spider-Man's origin story. We've only seen this like 5 billion times.
Yeah, except apparently they changed it and they completely fucked it up or something.
They did pull
like
some
Uncle
of the order.
Ben doesn't even own a rice factory this time. What's the deal with that?
And
he's white.
And Aunt Jemima isn't like pancake syrup. What the fuck? No, no. It's I haven't seen it, but I don't really like feel terribly keen to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I really really loved it.
Well, I thought Spider-Man 1 or 2, the original with Tobey Maguire, were pretty good. 3 was awful, but...
Well, yeah. Emo Peter.
With his little hip thrust and dance down the street.
Yeah, and the beaver hair.
This pie's amazing.
I haven't seen this, but you guys are making it sound awesome.
It's pretty awesomely bad, and I think it's probably on Netflix, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Look it up. It's... It was the sad end to that trilogy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, I really like this one. I thought they did a good job. So. Mm. I'm also a nerd, and, you know.
Well, we're all nerds here. And I just didn't grab it.
It's okay, Father. We're all priests here.
I'm looking forward to Dark Knight Rises, though.
Yes. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. 18th, I think?
It's not 20th. This weekend, but next weekend.
I thought it was the 20th. I could be wrong.
It's soon.
I'm frequently wrong.
Soon. It must be soon. The 20th is a Friday, so that's very possible.
But I've heard everything that it's good, and, like, I'm sure Kevin Smith will see it before any of us, and he'll be coming all over the page with his impressions soon enough.
He may even come twice.
I don't know. He did that at Avengers. I don't know if he can come twice at another movie.
Avengers was pretty fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah. It's fucking great.
Yeah.
I am so buying that on Blu-ray just to watch Loki get smashed.
So
over and over again.
I did see something really cool, though.
Has anyone made a looping GIF of that yet?
Wah, 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 wah. Wham, wham, wham.
I've seen they're releasing, like, when Avengers comes out, a Blu-ray suitcase that has, like, an LED internally lit Tesseract in, like, the containment case. and it has like all the DVDs of the this particular Marvel set of movies.
Ooh.
On Blu-ray, and it has like a dossier and an extra Blu-ray and a bunch of other crazy stuff. It's going to be like $150,
$200. Oh, shut up and take my money. That sounds awesome.
I was going to say, I'm borderline. It's like, oh.
Yeah, I saw it too. And I'm like, you know, I only own a couple of these on DVD. I bet I could convince Panther to pick this up.
I think Tyrion and I have Captain America on DVD.
Or, yeah, we don't have anything on Blu-ray.
I think I do, but I might make an exception for this. And I'm not one for special editions, but oh my god.
Yeah, it sounds really cool.
There's a chalice. Hold your cum that will just ooze out of you.
That was the Skyrim.
Let me pull up the full size image here.
That was the Skyrim Ultimate Edition.
Yeah.
It was Skyrim.
I'm waiting to see if I can get it.
A dragon dildo, a chalice, and a six pack of Coke.
Yeah.
That was.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And this is where Fuzz shows the case and he's like, aw. A little blood, a little bit of blood moving down there.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. It's got like some cool looking kind of art deco-y kind of like image sets.
Yeah, it's got some cool shit in there.
Nice.
But yeah, I saw that the other day and was like, oh my god.
That's awesome, man. I got half a stock going over here.
Great. Just half.
Well, you know, I have to see it in person.
I've got half, and I'm a girl.
Then I could be
for
like,
God's sakes, man.
When I get it in my hands, then I'll be like, I just filled the cup.
Yeah,
that is sexy.
It is. Yeah.
So anyways,
wow, we just got completely lost in the fucking nerdity here. Oh, this alien anthology looks fuck good, too.
Does it come in an egg?
Yes.
That doesn't surprise me.
I shit you not, dude, yes.
That's awesome.
Saverin.
It does indeed come in an egg, and you will too.
I could totally see.
And then you all have children.
Oh, shit.
Fertilize it.
I'm pretty sure that if Panther didn't already.
It's a fleshlight. It comes in a fleshlight installed so that you can fertilize the alien egg.
Oh, God. So anyways.
It's a ball buster. Oh.
It's going to be a boy. So we should read our emails because, oh, I don't know, you have work in the morning.
Right. Shut him up.
Yep.
But if I'm reading, I won't be shut up.
Just about the thing he doesn't want to hear about.
But we're reading emails then. We're doing the point.
We're doing God's work. We're on a mission from God.
Something like that. I'm going to start reading an email.
Why don't you start from the bottom since we've archived those?
Yeah, I know. That's where I was going to start.
Yeah, be a good fox. Start from the bottom.
Yep. All right, an off-topic question about furs in real life.
Pass. Hello. Kidding. Go ahead.
Hello, Notcast. Your bunny otter from Arkansas has an off-topic email, and I hope you can help with. I have an issue with the ways furs look in real life. I believe I am stuck up on how people look. I'm 6'2", 200 pounds, keep feeling bad about wanting a mate when I can't look past how much or little they weigh. I want a poly relationship. I have a guy in mind. We play MMOs and RTS games, and I share about everything with the guy. I just can't look past the weight issue. He's working on getting fit, and I'm there with him every step of the way. My question is, how does one look past the gut and love the heart? It's a personal thing for him and for him to get strong. Any advice for me to look past my stuck-up self? Your Bunotter Mukashi. Sorry for the wall.
It's not a wall of text.
Sorry for the paragraph of text. And anything not clear, more info is needed to apply. I'll fill in the blanks. P.S. Question for Shiva. Is it wrong to be in a poly relationship with one guy and you want to protect you with his life? And a smaller guy who wants to treat him as a mate but use him as a fuck toy? Let's just say it's go wild on him. Never really was told what a poly relationship is. I just want my find myself in relationships with more than one guy. So and they're fine with that. I just want some advice.
So you have one person with a relationship with and one person is a living fleshlight. Shiva, your answer on that.
Let's see. I'm trying to parse the sentences. That's kind of poly. That's more just
mate with a pet
and a friends with benefits or pet. Poly is more like a full relationship with more than one partner. It's not just a friendship. It's actually boyfriend, you know, building a life type thing. That's poly is where you start getting into relationships, not just fucking around, which is open and it's good. It's just it's slightly different. So
right. But about the topic of the email.
So no fatties. So he wouldn't date any of us.
No, we're fucked.
Or well, not in this case.
Yeah,
we'll have to be barren and cold forever.
I'm just gonna go curl up in the corner now.
like a nun's womb.
Thank you.
You're going to bite your fist when we go on break. Just you're going to bite your fist over that one when we go on break.
Okay.
Okay.
Trust me.
I'm already biting my fist now.
When it comes to somebody's weight, a lot of people are, well, generally pretty sensitive about that. And if you make it an issue, it's going to be an issue in a relationship. But looking past a person's, I mean, you have an end goal in mind. Hopefully the guy you have your eyes set on isn't, you know, it's not entirely predicated on him being skinny and strong, but I don't know. It is pretty darn shallow, I have to admit.
Well, if you've got your physical taste, you got your physical taste. It's not like you're suddenly going to be able to get over it.
I know.
You know, sometimes it's just...
Yeah, it's such an interesting issue because, like I said before, like Taryn and I have totally different types that we like, that we find really hot, that we fantasize about. But we're very similar physically, and we're not really each other's type. But, you know, yeah, we have sex, but our relationship is about so much more than that. It's on a different level than the physical, I guess. So, you know, if we want to get off with a hot guy, you know, that's no problem. And that's part of the open relationship as well. But, like, we're attracted to each other on... There's a physical level, but there's also more an emotional and a personality level.
Yeah, I mean, you really...
And that's how we deal with it, I guess. Because I like skinny little twinks, so...
Well, yeah. On my end, I mean, neither Panther nor I are the most, you know, good-looking individuals by societal standards. But it's more an emotional and relational thing than... physical.
And then you've got, like me, I don't tend to be attracted to males at all until I become their friends. And then once I'm friendly with them, only then does any kind of attraction happen. And then, well, it really works. But
then you're all up on that junk.
But when it comes to just attraction, it doesn't happen. So, you know, there's all different ways around the whole physical barrier.
The other thing I'm going to throw out there is that, yeah, the furries being by and large, it's kind of a joke and it's kind of a stereotype, but I've met and seen people of all types in the fandom.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Look around any furry convention. You know, yeah, there's... underweight, there's overweight, then there's the really fit types, there's short, there's tall. I mean, just guys, girls, something in the middle. I mean, all types, you know, especially the bigger the con. So if you're looking for a particular type, you can find them. But I guess also just realize that the more... criteria that you add, the more you're narrowing your search results. So, you know, first of all, it's like furry. That, yeah, and I'm not saying you're saying that you have to have a furry, but let's just say furry, male, in shape, matching your orientation in some way, I guess either bi or gay, and then if you throw a couple more things in there, a couple more shared interests or something like that, you're making it harder and harder. And it's, to an extent, it's going to be, it's kind of like buying a house. You know, we're buying a house right now, so I'm thinking in these terms. We may not get everything on our top 10 list, so we have to compromise. So, like, there's some things about the house we're going to buy that I'm not in love with, but we're like, we love this house. This is something that we can improve upon in a few years. This is something we can work on. And with looking for someone to date, it's like, you know, you have the similar interests and you have the opposites attract, and you're going to look for kind of a mix of that, and you're going to not 100% get that dream guy because he doesn't really exist, but you might surprise yourself by falling for someone that doesn't meet your exacting physical standards. You know, it may or may not happen, but so I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't like have like a major hard on for look for when looking for love for looking for like one specific physical type.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's just my two cents on that there. So I guess Savern read that. So I guess.
Yep.
Do you want to go? Okay.
I can go. Yay. Fine, I'll go.
Sad Hulk music. You want to continue from the bottom up?
Yep. Yeah, it just was. Oh, yeah. I just found your podcast a few days ago. I've been listening to it about nonstop since then. I'm currently on episode 17, so I have a long way to go to be sure. So far, it's great. I came. Please forgive me if the remaining 170 episodes you discuss this, and if this breaks or almost breaks one of the rules. I know this approach is number 3, but please answer my query. The topic of fisting occasionally comes up, and I've heard revulsion and rejection from your hosts. I understand it's not for everyone, but I do not understand how it can evoke such a strong reaction from most of the population. I was recently told that I went twisted and wild for fulfilling my mate's desire for something more rough, wide, and controllable than any dick or dildo. To me, it seems like fisting is a natural progression from the demand for more and more stretching. In my defense, scat is a huge turnoff for me, and my mate obliges my wish that he be completely clean, so is there any other than the connection with crap that makes people queasy? What makes fisting so repulsive to most people? Looking forward to your response. I have no idea how to pronounce your name.
Briaris DeRosi Blasco. It's almost, it's like Russian Klingon.
Yeah. That. It's like you read it with Russian and a Klingon accent or something.
It's Soviet Kronos Batlak stab you. I don't know.
I think it's the connection with scat, personally. I mean, that's my problem.
Okay, so we're specifically talking about
fisting, but I'd really like to claim that ass.
I think, you know, specifically we're talking about anal fisting here.
Well, I can tell you as a girl, I've got no interest in trying the other kind either, so, you know.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, oral fisting is rough, especially if you just had work done.
And, you know, when you try to get a football up there, I think a lot of it is also the, like...
I've seen pictures of that.
Oh, God. So have I.
That's not a field goal I want to make. Right between the uprights, the...
It was a small Nerf one, not a full mine regulation
size. No, mine was a full size one.
Oh, Jesus.
And it wasn't an American football. It was actually a soccer ball.
No, this was a football.
Okay.
So, I just think it's the stretching of a body past its easily elastic return point. You know, people have this thing about having, well, sphincter control on any part of their body. It's just people are squicked by the potential for self-damage.
Yeah, because, I mean, the anus is sensitive, isn't it?
Well, it's a ring muscle. It'll stretch pretty far, but you can totally tear it.
Yeah.
And you stretch it too far, and, well...
You're incontinent for the rest of your life.
pretty much.
But for me,
you
it's
mean
really
you fly
like,
overseas?
You know, it's like those bad dragon toys are the ones you can find at, well, pretty much any like gay toy shop. You know, the ones that are bigger around than Pringle cans and about as big. You know.
I've seen one that a cock. It's actually a rubber fist and arm.
I saw that at, we went down to the neighborhood last Saturday.
When I was in Castro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was down in the Castro area of San Francisco, there was a sex shop just there on the street. And, yep, I was like, wow, I'd only ever seen this on Borat. They really do exist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Big black rubber fist.
Yes.
But also, like, these horrifying, like, they looked like something out of Aliens. That's, like, three cocks intertwined. There's, like, this mega triple cock penetration.
Have you seen some of the bad dragon toys?
I've seen them. They're ridiculous.
Yeah.
And if it's one of those things that large insertions, some people, like, really dig that. And then the people that don't.
Yeah.
It
you know,
squicks them out, but
yeah,
and really, it's out there, but it's not like super out there. And as long as everybody's a willing participant, well, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much echo that. I mean, it's a thing for some people that's what they're into, and as long as you're safe and everyone is in on it, stuff. I mean, there are certain precautions to be taken. You want
to
slow stretching,
are you?
You can't. Well, I mean, you can probably if you want to. If you're like, I'm a horse, you know, you're into the shoulder. And you also can't literally punch the sphincter, although some people refer to it like that. You can't actually just ram your fist in, but you probably know. Yeah, right in the ass. Just, their fucking anal ring pops out their mouth and then they die. just right through their body. Next thing you know, they're shitting out of their navel, and it's all downhill from there.
Yeah, it's gone downhill.
Peeing outside of their forehead.
So fisting, it's a thing. And as long as you and your partner enjoy it, well, thumbs up fully for you.
I guess a lot of people have people have a squick factor watching childbirth. And that's perfectly natural.
Yeah.
Because people have that reaction of there's something really large coming out of a hole that is normally so small.
Teeny. And it's going,
you know, all of a sudden there is a cantaloupe coming out of your piss hole, you know? you know, and if you have like a particularly large shit, you know, it can hurt and you can strain. And then people think of like, they look at their arm and they're like, no. You know, it's just one of those kind of natural reactions. But, yeah, it's probably something like if you have a kink for that, you can kind of ease yourself into it. You know? Yeah. It's not something I do, but, you know, I don't see a problem with people doing it as long as they're safe.
Yep.
I went and saw this kind of cool video, actually. I was just, like, watching it in, like, sort of a horrified fascination where it was a girl, and she was on all fours. And there was a guy had rubber gloves on past his elbows, and I guess I'm gonna visualize this. He was moving using both his arms, but moving them in and out one by one. So imagine that was her anus right there. He was going like that and going all the way into the elbow, right into her ass, and it was just like. And he was doing it quickly too.
Oh.
You know, it was, and she sounded like she was loving it, and I was just like, "Wow!"
See, I look at some of the girls who play with bad dragon toys because I've seen some of the videos, and they use them, and they look like they're having fun. And I'm just looking. You've got to have done a lot of work to be able to take that. How do you ever enjoy normal sex again after that? I mean, wouldn't you just have all your partners feel utterly inadequate?
I'm sorry, you just can't compare to Duke or whatever.
I'm sorry, chance is just too big.
Yeah.
I mean, I just imagine it's like having this little fly dick after, you know, chance.
Well, I don't know, but you would probably have more experience with owning a vagina.
I guess maybe they just kind of lay there and they read Bad Dragon fanfic and just go, is it in yet? okay?
Oh, it is? Uh-oh.
Well, do me a favor. Put that baseball bat in here, and that'll help.
If you slide that in, and you can slide all along it, too, and we'll just you know, use it as an assist.
Shove that shampoo bottle in my ass at a medium pace, which is an Adam Sandler song. I don't know, Sheba. I mean, shit does snap back, right?
To an extent.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, it can go wide enough to pass a baby's head, but women don't do that every day.
No.
So, you know, if you're using big toys on a regular basis, I don't know how.
And usually after childbirth, things are not quite the same ever again.
Mm.
So, I don't know. Yes.
But very interesting. Okay. We have a couple of... I'm going to go ahead and skip up to something from this week. Because we have a couple of, like, on topic for last week. Let me give us an on topic for this week. I'm very stuffed up. My allergies have been nutty lately, so I'm trying not to yawn here. Okay. A thanks, a derp, and a question. This is going to be a three-part email, but I will try to keep it as brief and coherent as I possibly can. Dear Dotcast, it is hard to express my gratitude for the advice you guys gave me on last week's episode. My heart practically leaped when I heard my email, and I must have listened to it 5 times to try and wring as much information from it as possible. I'm sorry, that could probably be difficult with us sometimes. Although this email has morphed over the week from the pitiful musings of a child to what I hope come across as heartfelt gratitude from a confused furry. In the coming month, I will be separated from my family and friends by starting the next chapter of my life in college. And this separation is not entirely unwanted. This new chapter comes with some obvious stresses, one of which is discovering my sexuality, and the other is beginning life in a new setting. I will be focusing on my academics, of course, but realizing my own desires is a long, strenuous project that I have felt had been completed, but that is no longer the case. I felt I had been fairly confident in my sexual vocation, but as I listened to your podcast more and more, that confidence fled like a squirrel from a crippled dog. This led to confusion, which, and this will sound strange, is entirely wanted. Your podcasts have allowed me to ask myself the right questions, search in the right areas, and most importantly, learn to cover my own ass before I reveal anything to my family. Though, if someone, let's say my brother, asked me if I were gay, I don't think I could respond with anything other than, I don't know. Finally, thank you guys 1,000 times over for keeping me company during my days at work and what will soon be my long drive to college. A special thanks to Fujimaru Husky for his advice, as his landed incredibly close to home. I am definitely not comfortable with coming out, and that advice helped me realize that there will always be someone who will help you when you are at your worst, i.e. when my ship is going down. Not to take away from the rest of the cast's advice, as it all helped me greatly. Now on topic. Only a few months ago, a group of 3 friends and I were driving back to one of our houses after dinner. As usual, I was the driver, and because of the limited cab space in my truck, 2 of my friends were riding in the back. Well, the intersection coming onto the highway requires a hard turn and a rather hasty U-turn. Safe to say, I dropped my derps all over the road and forgot
the
2 pieces of precious cargo were in the back. Safe to say, these 2 had the rides of their lives, and I would not have heard their screams of fright had it not been for my 3rd friend in shotgun. As I pulled into the parking lot, the fear turned into hilarity. Though I realize how stupid this act was, it has caused them to think twice of insisting on riding in the back, which was a situation of which I was never comfortable. Obviously, their trust in me was greater then than it is now. Wow.
Wee!
Hey, look, there be a question in them there hill of words. I have looked into groups and organizations at the college I will be attending, and noticed that a group of students established a gay-straight alliance. Do any of you have experience or opinion on GSAs? Would you recommend a sexually confused furry join one? Even on Caffeine Power, I realize this email lacks the characteristic of being brief, but I look forward to any form of response. You 3 are great, tangents and all. Kinner. P.S. I am extremely sorry if this email landed in Shiva's lap.
No, it missed.
Yay!
So joining GSAs.
GSAs are great.
Yeah.
You should totally go.
If you're confused, these are one of the best places for you.
Plus, you'll meet interesting people who are probably going through the same struggles you are. So they have somebody to talk to.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. you'll all be about the same age. And
yeah, but there'll also be like a leader, a faculty leader, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Or at least like a senior student, like a student body president kind of type or something.
They're totally interesting, and you could meet some cool people there.
And at least be able to find more people, too.
Maybe you won't have the Christian group meet outside your room each time and play their acoustic guitars.
Oh, God, not the acoustic guitars.
Yeah. I like acoustic guitars, not when they're, you know, being used that manner, but...
There was a...
Did this happen to you?
Yeah, actually it did. Okay. At TCC, the Northeast Campus had a GSA, and I thought it was pretty cool, because, you know, been there, done that. I'm obviously old enough and well-established, because this was back when you lived in Euless. And, you know, I was just going to meet some interesting people, and the Christian group would meet on the same days as the GSA and would sit outside and play their acoustic guitars and sing songs and try to invite the people coming to the GSA to join them and pressure them to sitting and read their Bible verses and other such bullshit.
I can just imagine the GSA comes out and sits with them and starts preaching with them about joining the gay agenda.
No,
join us in not having sex.
No, I had words with them on occasion, though. I was like, could you guys fuck off elsewhere?
Please.
Like, we're meeting here. You are here to intimidate. Go away.
Did they go away?
No. They're self-righteous fuckheads. They're not going to listen to some faggot. This is Texas, after all.
Yeah.
I would have had to, like, slap their shit and gotten arrested.
Well, slap their shit is a euphemism for butt sex, so they wouldn't...
No, not in this context.
Oh, okay. So you'd have to have pulled out a gun.
Yeah, so I don't think that you're going to have that happen because you're not at a... You're probably not going to be going to a community college. But check it out, and if anybody gives you guff about it, tell them to go suck a fuck and get out of your face. That's what I have to say.
Either that or...
Just tell them that cross won't protect you from the gay agenda.
Careful, you'll get gay on you.
That's how it works, you know?
Yes. Just rubs off.
That's how we spread our seed. It's like, it's airborne. We just have to breathe near you or play Elton John and you'll be gay.
So that's how we're shredding.
Yeah, it's not just airborne, it's actually oral.
I love the thing that you shared on Facebook today.
I was just thinking of that. Yeah, you know, shiver in fear as they watch TV.
Do the dishes.
All right, so we have another email here.
Just one?
We have some.
We got like a whole shitload, man.
Well, yes, we have... But let me read an email. That was only one round.
Do we have to let you read?
I guess.
That's the question you asked me.
Actually, didn't I just read?
No, I... Wait.
No.
I just read that one.
Fuck. That's right, you did.
Yeah.
All right, email time. Hiding your power level. Hello again, Notcasters. Brant's back again to show possibly relevant, possibly just rambly 2 cents. Hiding your power level. I'm an expert at this, since I do it so much. As a pagan libertarian, bisexual furry, in an open relationship who just happens to live in rural Iowa, corn hell, as a local fur put it, I understandably am reluctant to let any of those cats out of the bag. In a small town like where I live, news travels quickly and gossip travels at positively supersonic speeds. After getting back to work on Monday, I was once questioned about what I was doing headed south on a certain highway with a certain unidentified male in my car over the weekend. With such nosy neighbors who also happen to be almost entirely conservative and anti-anything different, I've elected to keep anything that doesn't paint me as a red-blooded American male under wraps. I'm openly geeky about video games, science, and internet trivia, but I keep the bisexual, furry, pagan, and open relationship stuff to myself. It's nice to say, fuck what your neighbors think, but the reality of the matter is that I have to deal with them on a day-to-day basis, and I may have to for some time. It kind of sucked to be at the mercy of a mechanic, plumber, or landlord who thought I was some kind of freak show and had no problem taking making my life a living hell to pay me back for my deviance. As it stands, I'm a more or less well-respected member of the community, though mainly through family. Everybody knows my grandparents, so that makes it a bit easier to fit in, and makes people a bit more likely to trust me or help me out. However, keeping about 70% of myself hidden from everyone but my girlfriend or one or two others leaves me a totally different problem. The only interest I feel comfortable talking is about firearms, and that's mostly all I talk about. However, I think I'm coming off as that gun guy, which has a somewhat sinister Ted Bundy feel to it. Luckily, I'm amiable and chatty enough to avoid the dangerous dark loner type most often associated with mass murderers. I still feel like I'm pretty two-dimensional in social settings, though, and I'm not sure how to cope with it. Even my parents don't know about any of these things. Someday, I plan on living in a city where I can let my freak flag fly and then fade back to anonymity if things go sour. But for now, social consequences could be too dire for me to risk it. It's worth noting that I've always been a very cautious person, and past experiences have led me to care perhaps a bit too much about being well-liked. I wonder if I'm making more of a big deal out of this than it warrants, but I'm reluctant to take the plunge to find out. If any of the Notcast crew has to live for a while keeping most of themselves away from others, I'd be interested to hear about how they coped with it and how they accomplished some level of being themselves in social settings. P.S. I apologize, the email is disjointed, confusing. It's 4 a.m. as I write this, and I'm a bit discombobulated from 2 12-hour shifts at the hellhole I call my job. We'll see. What you need to do is you talk about your hunting shotguns and your revolvers and your 9mm. Then you talk about your AR-15, and then you talk about that AK-74 that you have semi-auto. That's really not semi-auto, but you don't want to take it to the ATF. Then you talk about your experiences and dipping squirrels and jelly and alcohol and setting them afire to kill. I don't know. No, don't talk about the last part.
How is this helping?
It's not.
Oh, we help?
Well, talking about guns. Talk about these guns.
Well, it's like, you know, you can spread out. Talk about different kinds of guns. Like, man.
But they also know you're into sci-fi, so you start talking about phasers versus the guns that stormtroopers use versus Dalek extermination, and they're like, man, he knows about all kinds of guns.
Hey, you could always expand to talk about knives and swords. Archery.
Tomahawk throwing.
Siege equipment.
Archery? Making buildings?
I realize this isn't very helpful.
Yes. You could talk about moon rocks and how, you know, you could fashion them into the shapes of tiny guns because you had so much time on the moon and so many friends! I don't think it's entirely unreasonable that you keep big parts of yourself hidden in your situation. I know it sucks and it feels really awkward, but you know your situation, you know the state you're living in and the area you're living in, and you know, small town, even in the more populated states, so like they're not always safe for any kind of
quote unquote deviance.
Any deviance from the norm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think your plan to eventually move to like a larger area is right. I would try to diversify your topics a little bit beyond the guns, because you're right. You don't want to get the creeper vibe going.
He's interested in guns, and that's all he's interested in.
Yeah. They're expected to go to your cabin, and
because that's
what people have in Cornhill.
I've cabins. Run into this situation where I'm not real open about myself at work, even about the stuff that's not really an issue, you know? Like, especially down here in the South, I don't let my atheism out at work. The fur faggotry doesn't come out at work. I'm kind of out as far as the sexuality goes, because like a couple of my coworkers follow me on Facebook. I ended up talking to my boss.
You mean Tyrion's not your roommate?
Yeah, really. So that's kind of out there, but that's okay. It's a very open and accepting environment at my particular job. But there's large parts of me that I just don't. I'm the boring guy that doesn't really do much or talk about much, I guess, at work. and that's all my previous jobs. And, you know, I kind of feel like Facebook, it makes me seem really, really dull. Well, because like, all my actual communication is on Fur Affinity and my Furfact Twitter account and this filthy podcast.
Yeah, I had that a bit of a moment like that the other day. So, as I mentioned last week, the Evo Championships. Mm-hmm. Sunday, there's a local group trying to set up a fighting game community in Dallas, which there hasn't been one, like, ever. And so it's commendable, and I went out there to their first meetup and got my ass handed to me a lot. And one of the people was like, oh, hey, you know, and I was chatting, and they're like, so what do you do outside of this? And I had to, like, check myself, and I'm like, stuff. I do stuff. And then it was like, nah, I'm a podcaster, blah, blah, blah. This, and it was like real general about stuff, but I was like, I had to think for a second. I was like, what do I tell this person? It's like, I play video games. I followed the news.
This is kind of a fight to, like, I don't want to seem too boring.
But I don't want to be like, I'm also like, I really like My Little Ponies. I don't want to be creepy, and I don't want to be like, oh, you know, I just enjoy watching the fighting games, and you know, and
anything. This is all I do. I watch other people play video games. Now leave me alone. I don't have friends.
No,
and he backs away slowly. By the way, I also know a lot about guns.
You want to talk about guns? I've got a lot of them. Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, hey, this random person.
I painted them and named them after actually, my
little ponies. It was a chick.
Oh, okay.
So it's like,
a girl is talking to me.
Oh, God, a girl's talking to me. I have to temper my responses because I don't talk to very many.
Except me, all the time.
You, or Webster, or the roommate.
I think we no longer parse as girls.
No.
We're nerds.
I just think of Randall and Clark's is like, you know, I don't really know much about chicks, so if you got to cry or something.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't talk to girls. It's like, wait a minute, what about me?
But you're a chat cat. You don't count.
I'm half girl.
As for, like, living with most of themselves privately, I mean, I kind of did that before I came out.
Mm-hmm.
I was, like, super, like, trying to overcompensate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I was buying, I think it was Otaku USA back in the day. It was still, there was, like,
two. I thought you were going to be, like, buying Guns and Trucks magazine.
No. No, I wasn't buying that.
It was literally a magazine called American as Fuck.
It was a magazine, but it always had, like, one or two, like, anime girl pinups there. It's like the front half is some awesome anime fight scene. The other half's some chick in a bikini from some anime.
It's kind of funny because, like,
it's like, hey, look, I've got all these, you know, chicks on my wall. I'm totally straight. Fap, fap, fap to that gay porn. Oh, yeah.
It's so weird because I never really did that. I guess because I realized the bi thing. Like, oh. I never thought I was gay, so
This was also when I was, like, 17 and 18.
True. I mean, I was a couple years older, but, like, I got this great poster of Gillian Anderson in lingerie, and I had that on my wall for years. Like, it's a really hot picture. You'd probably appreciate it if you like Gillian Anderson.
Yeah. But I do understand.
I had, like, posters of, like, Psylocke and other naked chicks on my wall.
You know, I think I had a Psylocke poster too. I can't remember,
but I do feel kind of bad. It's like in my 90% of my real life, though. Yeah, 95% real life. I don't have to really like hide anything.
Yeah,
it's when I hit that 5-10%, it just like grinds to a halt, and I'm like, ah, shit. What do I say?
Yes, my coworkers. Obviously, I mean, I've got like one or two that follow my Facebook. Not that many, because most of the people who did have since moved on to other companies. I think I still have one current employee that watches my Facebook, but I don't do anything on it except I keep reposting pro-gay rights stuff on it, and are checking you... in. Oh, like last week I checked in at, you know, the...
Oh, at S4.
At S4.
Yeah.
So I think they might get an idea about some of my agendas, but I don't know if he actually looks all that much. And my coworkers know I like to cook. That's about it. I mean, I don't really talk about much.
That's funny. You can find anything on Google. There's the poster.
Huh.
I just did a basic search.
Gillian Anderson lingerie.
Yeah, 37. So I had that 24 by 36 on my wall for like 5 years.
Yeah.
So I used to
that
be...
was when she was like doing X-Files and nerds were getting boners.
So yeah, I had a nerd boner. I had that, and I had the big-ass poster that said, I want to believe.
I don't think I've got it. Had any hot guys or anything on my walls growing up. No?
I didn't. That's what it kind of always confused me about red-blooded American youth, is they'll have, like, posters of wrestlers and stuff like that, and it's all like... huge buff guy, skin tight outfit, package bulge, and it's like, this is so straight. Yeah, it's like, man, you're like a handful of oil away from like gay porn. I mean,
and pulling down the skin tight.
Yeah, exactly. You know, years from now, you'll be writing dirty fanfic about, you know, world wrestling stuff.
You know that's out there.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I'm sure that there's WWE fanfic.
Mm-hmm. Oh no.
And yeah, there's lots of gay. Oh, yeah. Anywho, was it my turn?
I believe so. Yeah, because I think he.
Wow. So
we fapped on about that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
There's an Angel Fire website. It's like. This is my home to WWE, TNA, / fiction.
I didn't know Angel Fire was still around.
Neither did I.
Is Tripod still around?
I know GeoCities isn't.
Oh, God. Let's see.
Wow, there's a decent amount of this, but it's like...
Wait, is that like the WWE, you said, fan, dirty fanfic?
Yeah, or? It's WWE / fic. God. Wrestler / fic.
I'm not at all surprised, I guess.
Well, there's fanfic of anything.
Dear Notcast, I would like to extend a belated thank you to the cast for reading my last email on episode 175, Furries Improve Everything. I would also like to congratulate Fuzz on being correct in pronouncing and spelling my hybrid species name. I am, in fact, a husky oat, and I even have the license plate to prove it.
Yay.
As for hiding one's power level, I feel that it is an absolute necessity for me to limit the actual number of people who know of my involvement as well as degree of which they know. I possess a strong desire to advance professionally within my organization, and I would prefer to avoid having someone's response to the furry fandom be an impediment to advancement opportunities. As such, I frequently speak about my other hobbies, such as cars, and when asked about what I do in my spare time, I feel very much in agreement with the sentiment posed on the prompt for the show that furry fandom is a personal space which I don't share with others. That being said, I do have coworkers who know about my involvement in the fandom, but these are people who are now friends I met at work rather than people I work with. It took a great deal of time for me to develop sufficient trust in these individuals to be able to share a very personal hobby. I'd like to politely disagree with those who may call my position on this matter a result of self-loathing or shame. I truly wish that we lived in a society that fully embraced all forms of diversity, be it racial, sexual, or social. However, our society possesses a multitude of imperfections which do not permit this vision of diversity to be realized. As a result, I feel the need to work within the context of our society's imperfections by tempering my discourse with firm rules as to what I deem to be personal and what I deem to be public. I'd like to thank the cast for posing such a scintillating question, as well as all the effort you put in week after week. I look forward to hearing your opinion as well as that of other listeners. Regards, Standard Deviant the Husky Oat, and he sent us a picture of his license plate.
That is indeed
Husky Oat.
Awesome.
What? Okay.
So it's one of those, yeah, there's not really a question.
But. No, but it's stories are fine, too.
Well, yep. That's the whole point of the throw something at Zavrin. Being like, that didn't have a question.
Don't throw things at me.
Don't throw hands at me.
Don't abuse the fox.
Abuse the fox.
Don't abuse the fox. Read an email, Fuzz.
Oh, if I must.
You should read an email. And then we'll take a quick break, because it's almost an hour. Actually, at an hour. Read the email, Charlie.
I was wondering what you were doing there.
I was waiting for the Charlie to come up.
Oh, okay.
Come on, Charlie.
It's Poochie Mountain. Okay. An emotional conundrum redux. However you pronounce that word. I never know how to pronounce that word. Red ducks. There are no ducks here.
Red ducks.
How is it a duck pond with no ducks in it? Furries, fuzzies, and associated hooligans, lend me your ear. I'm sure you've all heard it before, but I have a little something that's been on my mind for the last 6 months or so, and it has not yet ceased to baffle me. You see, I have a near excessive affection toward another, and I have no idea what to do about it. The situation is this. Early in January of this year, I realized I had feelings towards a girl I've known since freshman year. We met through mutual friends and quickly developed a friendship of our own. Upon her graduation a year after my own, I felt it necessary to sit her down and express my feelings. While she gave no signals for or against my affection, she managed to keep her own thoughts out of the discussion. In February, we both attended Texas Furry Fiesta. We even roomed together. The trouble is, shortly after the con, she entered into a romantic relationship with a man a decade older than herself. I, being who I am, harbor a great sense of jealousy and even a bit of hurt due to the fact that when we had our proverbial come-to-Jesus talk, she said that she wasn't interested in any romantic relationships, not while she was in college, a bare month before entering her current. I feel I was rightfully hurt, and I confronted her about it. I wasn't aggressive, or at least I don't believe I was. I simply asked if she'd said what she'd said to spare my feelings. She admitted to this. That was all. We still hang out and have fun, of course, but I can't seem to get her out of my mind as more than just a friend. To further my confusion, a friend and I that she and I share were having a discussion over lunch, and as it turns out, she'd confided in him that she wasn't comfortable when I discussed talking to other people in a pre-romantic way. You know, playing the field, as it were. I honestly don't know what to make of it. She explained to me during our confrontation that she did what she did because if we'd ended up dating and things turned south, we'd lose a close friendship. I assured her that this was not the case, but my frustration remains. My biggest problem with this entire situation, aside from the depression that hit after I visit her, is that she seems to bring something to sit to the table that I can't quite put my finger on. When this girl is around, my general ambivalence toward the world and life on the whole is suspended and replaced with the deepest sense of contentment and peace that I've ever had the pleasure of experiencing. I've never felt this way before, and I don't know how to express it to her without coming off as a needy boy who wants her all to himself for selfish reasons, despite the fact that she has a problem that she does not know that I'm aware of, with me seeing other people or even talking to them to see if the spark ignites due to her feeling of being in competition. I sent her a text not long ago, though I admit I had rather told her in person that, in my mind, to her, everyone else will be second best, and that I hope that someday I'd be able to take this older man's place and fill in where he left off. In short, I believe myself to be head over heels for this delightful little creature, and she seems to have some of the same feeling. I'm simply trying to find out if my view is somehow skewed, and I'm essentially looking for a third-party point of perspective. In short, what do? To add on to all of this, as much of a clusterfuck as I see it as, there is one more little issue. There is a high likelihood that I will be moving in with this girl. Now, it won't be a solo venture, as I will be moving in with another person who has been acting as my buffer between myself and this girl. My biggest reasoning for choosing her as a roommate is as simple as financial stability. While she does not work, her father is highly, perhaps unhealthily, supportive when it comes to money. Maybe it's because he's throwing in for her college costs and he makes too much money for many scholarships and things such as that, but that is beside the point. Are there any thoughts on this situation? Is this a mistake? Is my reasoning valid? I simply do not know what to do. Yours, Klein Lutre.
I'm getting a Danger, Danger, Will Robinson, Danger.
Totally, yeah. On multiple levels. With this convoluted way you feel about her, I really don't think moving in with her is a good idea at all. And no matter what her issues with you flirting with other people may be, you're starting to sound a little obsessive and a little bit creepy.
Yeah, and you, if is she still? I mean, okay. Reading this, it sounds like she's still with this guy.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be confessing your love to her if she's already in a relationship. That's bad form.
Mm.
You should back the hell off.
It's kind of a faux pas, to put it mildly, to be like, as soon as this guy dumps you, I want to fill in where he left off. That's bad news, bud.
Yeah.
I think you need to be... Now, I've known several couples that... People that were couples, and they broke up, and they were forced into living together due to previous financial relationships. And all it did was exasperate the situation and make the breakup that much worse. This isn't exactly that situation, but I really think the living together is just going to exasperate the issues further. I think you actually need to separate from her as much as possible and move on with your life and find other people to date.
Living with her would just be a bad idea if you're this hung up on her. And she's seeing someone else. For one, living with someone that you're hung up on and watching them date other people is hell. Don't do it. Bad idea. Very, very bad idea.
You're just hurting yourself at that point.
So, yeah.
Severn?
Yeah, this sounds like a bad idea. I'm just like, wait, what? Oh my. Yeah. I'm going to go with what Fuzz said.
I just see this as train wreck incoming.
Yeah.
So, I mean, could be wrong, but...
Find some way to get by financially without living with her is the strongest advice that I can offer you. Because I really don't think that's going to end well for you emotionally. And... Like I said, the way you're talking about her and to her is kind of putting my red alert signs on. Like, yeah, if a guy was sending me messages like this, I'd be getting the creeper vibe. And I don't mean to be mean to you, but this is something that people don't sometimes realize that they're doing, and you wanted a third-party perspective, and this is the kind of thing that somebody outside yourself might see that you might not see. So I would definitely take a few steps back and maybe not contact her for a while and leave that up to her. So on that note, let's play some happy music.
Yeah. Happiness not guaranteed. So yes, we have a song this week. This week's song is called Zoo Theory by Anarchimo. A-N-A-R-C-H-I-E-M-O. Check your show notes, kids. It's the song, and it's there. The FA page. You should check it out. So on the note, it's music time.
Thank you.
Professionalism. So tell us about this week's item from AdamEve.com, Sheba.
This week's item is going to be rather super heroic. They've got a brand new parody video that we all love. It's Avengers, a porn parody. And yes, it does what's on the package. let's see, it's a two-disc set. Let's see, scene one, you've got Black Widow going at it with Hawkeye. Scene two, Sharon Carter orders Nick Fury to fuck her from below. Scene three, you got Scarlet Witch, and it looks like Leslie action with Ms. Marvel.
Wait, that's not Avengers.
Yes, it is. Scarlet Witch is Avengers.
Technically, she is in the comics an Avenger.
This is
except not at this point in space time in Avengers versus X Men. But she is technically an Avenger.
Let's see, scene four: She Hulk and Thor. I guess she takes his mighty hammer. Scene five is Ms.
Now, by the way, She Hulk is China. Oh. By the way,
yeah. Big lady. Miss Marvel passes up Thor for a taste of Spider-Man's radioactive cock.
Wait, Spider-Man's radioactive cock?
Yeah, he is. He was briefly part of the Avengers in the comics.
No, he still counts as an Avenger. No, it's not
that. I'm just like, he was bitten by a radioactive spider, but that doesn't mean he's radioactive. Okay, whatever.
It's
porn. I mean, it's porn.
It's a stretch, much like She-Hulk's stretched ass. I don't know what I'm going with. Let's just continue.
Yeah, it's
continue without me. It's all over for me.
Let's see, you got a
holy behind shit.
What? Yeah, she's pretty frightening.
That's, you don't tell that creature no.
Let's see, you got a behind the scenes behind content. Let's see, a non-sex party version, so you could have just the parody and not the porn. It doesn't have any ratings because it's new and brand it's new. Hilarious. Let's see, price is $29.95, but with our coupon code not KNOT, you can get it for half off. You also get free shipping, a mystery gift, and three free more DVDs.
Yep.
And so. A hand job from Saturn.
Redeemable at cons.
I'm never going to another con again.
Nope.
So blowjob.
No. Anyways, yeah, Adam and Eve, go there, buy some shit, get yourself some porn.
And a hand job.
And a hand job.
But not really that last one. No, but seriously, that really happened. It's a metaphor, but no, that really happened.
Yeah. That's a tapping fun. It's like a cat's tail lashing before he goes and kills us. Stop watching internet.
He's counting down.
Whose turn was it?
It would be yours, Shiva.
No?
Or no, Fuzz.
No. Who's that?
You I read the last email, didn't I?
No.
I thought you read the last email, Shiva.
No, you did.
Did I? Yeah, I did, because we completed a whole second circuit. Ha! It's your turn, Saverin.
Okay.
Ha! So don't sit and tap our foot.
You gotta read. It's your turn to read like a bitch. Oh, yeah.
So read like me.
Okay, so
you have to read it. This is my name, Saverin, and I'm the biggest idiot ever.
A chance to do things differently is the title of the email. Dear Notcast, I am 28, male, just moved to a new city. I've had exactly one serious relationship, lasted less than a year, and ended a couple years ago. I'm lonely, and I want someone to share my life with, someone closer than a friend. At my age, I think it's clear I need to change the habits if I want this to happen before I retire. 28. So old. Right? Right, guys?
Yeah.
It's past my bedtime!
You should have been dead 5 years ago.
I prefer the other one. There's no place for me in the living.
Please send me back before it's too late. All right, let me explain. Love at first sight will never happen to me because I don't really pay attention to whether anyone's attractive. I notice, but it feels like something that my brain didn't get the memo. I feel like I'm supposed to be upset about how little sex I'm having, besides the girlfriend. I've had 3 one-night stands, all at cons, though not furry cons yet. But I really don't mind. I'm content, I enjoy being content, but I'm worried that I'm lulling myself into complacency. So what do? Convince myself that sex is more important? Sex seems almost like a pretext for establishing the sort of intimacy I'm after. Maybe I'd do better to think of sex as a shortcut to intimacy, especially since I don't mind the sex. In past episodes, I've heard you give advice not to go looking for love to fill the hole in your life. I have friends, family, my health, a good job, a slew of hobbies keeping me busy, an assortment of social groups. I'm happy, but still feel incomplete. I know what I want, but I guess I've never met the whom I want. This is a bit of a problem for me, as I've basically never noticed a physical attraction to anyone of either gender, even my girlfriend, when she noticed and I'm sure contributed to our eventual breakup. I have good friends, a handful of really close friends, and a nice rapport with my parents. I've asked friends to set me up, but they've never been able to suggest anyone. My mom's after me about grandkids, and tried setting me up with a daughter of a friend. I got along well with the daughter, but I'm no good at LDRs, though now I've moved across the country, I'm trying to hone that skill. I have a vague notion that I should put myself in environments with more unattached people. I think I describe myself as using a word your podcast recently introduced to me, heteroflexible. So ideally, I'm after environments with eligible young ladies. I wanted to learn horseback riding, so I could try out those social circles, I guess. But without physical attraction pushing me to ask for a date, my modus operandi is getting to know someone and hoping we click. With people I like, this turns into a friendship because they're either taken or a lesbian. So, Notcast, I'm in a new city. I have a chance to do things differently before I start falling into old habits. What can I change? What should I work on? Thanks for your help, the anonymous aardvark. I do worry about overanalyzing this and devising plans to net myself and a significant other. It reminds me of Charles Darwin making his list of pros and cons about whether he should marry Emma. Spoiler alert, he did. So. New city, new opportunities, new stuff.
Opportunities in this community.
Bing, bang, zam. I don't know. So, You want a bang.
Well,
no.
Sounds like he wants a boom rather than a bang.
He wants a relationship, and he's in a new city, and he's got to make some new friends, and yeah, he doesn't want to end up in the friend zone, because that's a terrible place to be if you like a chick or a dude.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you know, I totally think that horseback riding classes, sure, that'll meet some adventurous young ladies. You know, probably. And you can always try, you know, going to meetups and all this stuff. I think our general advice to this kind of stuff is go out there and meet people.
I mean,
and see what clicks.
Just be generally socially active and yeah. meet people.
And put it out there that if...
I mean, hell, you could actually try, like, actual dating websites, you know?
No.
I mean...
It is worth a shot, and to do some, you know, random date, blind date, things like that. Specifically, if you're looking for dates, then that's, you know, there are resources to do that. And you may get lucky. That's kind of a shot in the dark. I mean, that's the problem, is that, like, a lot of relationships start off as friendships and move to relationships, and you haven't quite had that happen yet, with just becoming friends.
You fell into the friend zone.
Yeah, I mean, I try
Beware
not to...
the friend zone.
Yeah, I try not to fall into the lesbian zone, try to be, I guess, more cognizant of that. You know, don't try to pick up girls at the softball game, that kind of thing.
And
that was a joke. Severin sighed.
Chuckled.
He chuckled. But
was that a chuckle? I didn't.
It was a.
The podcast didn't pick it up. Sorry.
Yeah. Quiet chuckle at Fuzz's obvious comment.
Mm-hmm. And you never know.
And if it's two chicks driving a U-Haul, don't even try.
Yeah.
Clearly, it's the second date.
Oh my god. So yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what else to tell you, honestly. You don't click, you don't function on the, like, visual sexual attractiveness. And some people just don't. You need to worry about their personalities.
Then that's just going to come with friends and knowing people.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with being something that you click on with personalities. Everybody's got their own attraction points.
Yeah. And, you know... you know, people are different. Some people are not as visually orientated. If it's something you're really worried about, like you don't really feel much sexual desire generally, you might consider seeing a doctor to see what your, like, testosterone levels are. If mm-hmm. they're a little bit low, that can abnormally affect your interest in sex. But if that's not a problem, it doesn't really sound like that is causing you any distress, you know, that I wouldn't make a big deal of that, but just get out there in the community, meet people. You know, as much as we malign dating sites and stuff, you might consider trying sites like Pounced or something like that, especially if you're in a new community, and put it out there that you're looking for friends and you know, possibly something more. Not
friends
that,
with benefits.
Well, I was going to say not just that you're looking for a yiff, as they'll say on Pounce, but, you know, that you're looking to make friends. And, you know, some of those may be of the opposite sex.
Yep. So. All right, my turn.
Your turn. Okay.
Yawn.
I almost lost track.
Yeah, we're all staring at each other and yawning in sequence because it's late. It's 11 p.m.
It's late o'clock. Derpiness inbound. I'm convinced that girlfriends are hazardous to my health. A few years ago, I went over with the intention of spending a weekend with her. We got together Saturday morning and walked around her neighborhood taking a look at some yard sales. One house in particular had these old fashion barber shears, and Sweeney Todd had just come out recently. Can you tell where this is going? I picked up the blades, thinking they were dull, and started inspecting them. Now, these babies weren't kept up. They'd probably been locked away in the attic for 20 years. There was some dust and a bit of rust on them. Regardless of these signs, I thought to myself, hey, wouldn't it be a cool idea to run my finger over the blade? And did. very lightly at that. I didn't even feel it cut through my flesh. It started bleeding, but not like the Ermagog gallons everywhere that you usually see, but a decent trickle. We rushed back to her home, disinfected, bandaged it up, and regretfully returned back home in case it got serious. Thankfully, nothing came of it. I lived to be an idiot another day. There are plenty of more times I prove my stupidity around my girlfriend, but this is the biggest moment that comes to mind. Always your faithful, stupid listener, Isaiah.
I had something kind of similar like that happen to me when I was a kid.
You touched something you shouldn't?
Well, I almost cut my thumb off. Like the whole thing.
How?
Well, okay, so my grandfather had given me some, like, Native American swords or knives or something like that. And I was, like, 12 at the time, so of course, whoa, knives! Awesome! And I had this friend in the neighborhood, and he was, like, 10. And I'm showing him this thing, and it's in a sheath, so I'm holding it, and I'm pulling it out, but I'm holding it a little bit too close. Whoops. And as I'm pulling it out of the sheath, it is slowly slicing through the webbing between my thumb and forefinger of my right hand.
You didn't feel this? Was that sharp?
It was that sharp. Yeah, I didn't feel it. I didn't know anything was wrong until my friend put one hand over his mouth and started pointing at me with the other one with this sort of wide-eyed expression. And I was like, what? And then I looked down, and I just started to see some of the blood start to trickle out. And I don't know if I had a shock reaction or what, but I stopped and I looked at my hand and it was like, and I remember thinking, I could see inside my hand. That's kind of cool. I was a boy, you know, but no, I could see, like, I'm sure it's memory cheating, but, like, you know, just feel that little gap in that webbing there, and it feel like I was looking inside my hand, and I remember thinking, I should put some pressure on this. So I went into the bathroom, and my friend is running down the hall yelling for my mother. And I'm in the bathroom, and I'm putting, a towel on it. And I just remember my vision is starting to fill with white. And
yeah, you were going shocky.
I'm approaching the point of passing out, and I'm like, everything sounds so far away. And, you know, and my mom got me, I guess, sat down and got me some water and everything like that. Realized later I probably should have gone to the hospital. I probably needed stitches. But we actually stopped the bleeding, put a Band-Aid on it. And then I went out riding my bike like an hour later. And so I'm riding it kind of one-handed with my right hand sort of limply guiding, but not gripping the right handlebar. And then this asshole in a car nearly hit me, and I had to slam on my bike brakes. And so I instinctively gripped the handles with the brakes and felt the wound open again. So then I slowly rode back home. And if you look real closely, it's so long now.
It's gone.
I can still barely see it, but yeah, you can still see the scar.
So we had a knife growing up that had a nickname of Bambi's Revenge. It was a particular knife that had nearly taken off my father's fingers in the course of helping a friend butcher a deer that he had gotten that year. Mm. And he sliced himself really deeply with it, and so he had to get lots of stitches. And it's been kind of an infamous knife ever since.
Tasted human blood.
It's well, cursed, it did again. So me in my brilliance, because, you know, I was a child and brilliant. Mm-hmm. We had frozen hamburgers. And I wanted a hamburger. And I had to get them apart. So thunk, 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 slice, slam, right between my ring finger and my middle finger, right down in through that webbing, and oh, yeah. Ooh. So went to the hospital.
You're making people cringe on the
This
radio.
Is why neither of us are otters, because we cut all the webbing between our fingers.
No. So I got stitches, and then for like weeks I couldn't get it wet. So the entire summer, whenever I went swimming, I had to like double baggy my hand in, like, latex gloves and use, like, surgical tape to steel it up. Or else I couldn't go swimming all summer long. So all summer long I had to go paddling with a rubber glove on my hand. And it was very sad.
Can you just say you were a Michael Jackson fan wearing the one glove?
Because latex gloves are so sparkly.
Yes, totally. You could put some glitter on it. You were a kid. Be creative.
Bedazzle it.
Here's
no longer watertight.
Here's another thing. This is a dirt moment from high school. Not me, but somebody in my high school anatomy and physiology class where we were going to be doing dissections. And, day one, you know, we have the course in safety with the surgical instruments because we have this little surgical kit. It's this little plastic box and it's got two different probes and a scalpel and a couple of other things. So one kid, like, they're fairly new and they're plastic, so the probe was in there kind of tight and he couldn't get it out by pulling on it. So he puts one hand on the lid of the box, and then he takes his scalpel in the other hand and sticks it under the probe and tries to pry the probe out. And, of course, the probe shaft flies out, and the scalpel goes whoosh, right across the palm of his hand. So he's like, and he's calling out the teacher's name, and the teacher, like, gets him bandaged up. And then as they're, like, waiting for the school nurse, he turns around and he gets his marker and he writes on the dry erase board, scalpel idiot list, underline that kid's name. And he's like, and he tosses the marker down and he's like, I hope you've all learned from this. And that kid went to the nurse.
Yep. All right. That's no enough. That's enough slicing yourself open. I mean,
we don't even have Fujimaro this week to share.
Well, see, then when I was like 3, I nearly severed my entire left arm.
Wait, you did, didn't you? You're not joking.
At the elbow, yeah.
Yeah.
How did you do that?
I fell on sheet metal chasing my dog when I was like 3.
How?
And 3-year-old arms are little.
Yes. Yeah, I have a scar from like here to here.
Ow, ow.
Yeah, it's from here all the way across to there.
Yeah.
Which is nearly the circumference of my arm when I was a child.
Ow.
It's a bit, my arm's a bit bigger now.
So did you have stitches for that?
Or? Oh, yeah. I had a lot of, like, stitches and, like, a cast, I think, and shit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, thankfully, because I was a kid, you know, your body's so resilient.
Yeah.
It just fucking
healed pretty quick back then. Because otherwise you could have been like Arnie in Terminator 2 when he just cuts around and yanks the flesh off of his arm.
And then the skeleton inside me might escape.
I wanted you to listen to me very carefully.
All right, so let's move on to non-bloody.
So, have you guys seen Prometheus?
Yes.
And that horrific scene with, anyway, no spoilers.
I didn't like the movie. I thought it was eh.
I was kind of in the middle about it, I guess. Like, I liked it as a movie, but it threw out questions that really made no sense. Like, what the fuck with the guy at the beginning and the thing with the thing? And it's like, how does that relate to anything?
Yeah.
You know?
It's like I had a bunch of thoughts and I didn't put it together in a really comprehensive
some form. Of it is like fine. It's like, oh, there's some cool tech in it and it's a scary sci-fi movie with an alien. It's fine. But and I know it's not supposed to link up completely with the existing Alien films, but
yeah,
you know, they could have answered more questions instead of just creating more questions, I think. Anyway, go ahead. Whose turn is it?
Shiva's.
Didn't I just read?
Did you?
Is it my turn now?
No, I think it is mine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because you read the one about the blood, right? I'm really, like, out of it tonight.
Wait, you just read the one from...
Yeah.
Okay, so it's my turn.
Yes. And then there's one more for each of us.
All right. Excuse me. Okay. Scattered Thoughts of Scattitude.
That's a perfect title for us right now.
Zibbidibbidap.
Food and Pops.
Dear Agents F, S, and L Shape. My most scatterbrained moment occurred several years ago, and while not relationship related, does fall under the sexuality and furry brackets of this podcast domain. I was, how to put it delicately, whacking off furiously to a sizzlingly hot picture by Glenn Doggy when I hear a knock on my ground floor bedroom window. I turn around in my seat, shocked but not yet terrified, as I know my body was blocking the view of the screen from the window, and saw my father waving to me as he opened the back door and entered the house. As anyone would do in such a situation, I zipped up and closed down the image viewer, which was currently holding the image at full screen, and turned round properly, hands conveniently placed in my lap, to greet my oh-so-welcome parental unit. He entered my room and stared, brow furrowing darkly, at the screen. I turned to see what he's looking at. Oh, fuck, I'd closed the Windows slideshow, but I hadn't closed the almost-as-large preview image of that very same sexy cock-and-spooge-heavy furry picture. Thankfully, denial is my father's middle name, so while he huffed and puffed for the rest of that day, he ignored it. Besides intercepting a letter from my then-mate several months later, giving him a whole new reason to yell at me. Thank goodness I no longer live at home, and that even if I did, my mother divorced that judgmental SOB anyway. Hooray! I doubt I'm the only person to whom this has happened with porn or even furry porn, but I hope this particular letter provides a few lols anyway. Ever enthusiastic, Jeeves the Roo, Scotland. P.S. Shiva, off topic, at what point in your history in the fandom did you discover Chakats and what led you to become one? Chakats Den was the very first furry site I ever saw, transitioning me nicely from the world of Star Trek fan fiction into delicious furry smut.
Chakats. I found them before I actually joined Furry Muck. I was into furry things before that. I think I had joined, like, FAE and was looking at some of the images there. I found the Chakats Den website, but it was before I even joined, like, the first real furry hub, being Mux for me. So, before I really rolled my fursona, I actually started out as... Okay, I started on the Pern fandom. Pern fandom, it's really big of thou shalt not steal, and you don't do things without permission. So coming into furry, I really wanted to basically be a Chakat. But because I'd come from a background of you don't steal, I didn't really feel right about basically borrowing anybody else's idea. So I rolled a fox. It was a fox named Shiva. Lack of a better term, but like I'd been on Furry Muck for like 2 months when I ran into Bernard Duve, aka Goldfur, on Furry Muck and said, "Hey, I really like your shit. Is it okay if I use your idea and, you know, I use this idea and pretend that I'm one of your creations?" And he's like, "Wow, people don't ask. They usually just grab and go. Sure, just don't be an asshole doing it." Mm-hmm. It's like, okay. So, you know, I wanted to be one from the get-go, but I didn't feel right doing so until I actually met the creator. And so that ever since. But yeah, the Chakat Den is some art on FAE, which is fur artwork.
Erotica,
which is an old, old news group.
Yeah, I remember it.
Kind of the pre-FA, I think it was...
Pre-mailing list.
Yeah.
It's Usenet. It's,
mm-hmm. That's where I first ran into Chakats. So. And that's how I became one. So. Yeah.
Cool.
As for getting caught while looking at furry porn, no.
I don't.
Getting caught while doing an RP, yes.
I can't remember if I had actually rolled a furry character before I left home.
Hmm.
I know I was on the Pern fandoms when I left. I just can't remember if I'd bridged into furry. I don't think I think I dabbled a little, but not really anything.
It was one of those. In my case, I managed to close out fast enough, but I kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "What are you up to? Nothing you want to know anything about."
Okay. At least girls don't have to hide a hard-on.
Yeah, and, it's nice.
Well, that was, like, a long time ago, and my parents were like, well, my parent in particular was like, okay.
That at home, I really didn't look at much porn. I mean, I think the most racy thing I had at that point was a bunch of pinups by Olivia, and that was about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't get a lot of porn until I moved out of home.
I'm not familiar with their work.
Olivia?
Yeah.
Does a lot of pinups and such for, like, Playboy. You'd recognize it probably if you saw it.
Oh, okay, so you're not talking furry art.
No, I meant just generic porn in this case.
Gotcha.
No.
Yeah, very interesting.
So. Wow.
What? Long email?
Yep.
It was long?
Yep.
Leave it for Shiva, then. Nope. Why don't you read it, Savern?
I'll read it. It's a long email.
Okay, which one is it?
Derpomatic student. Dear Notcast, long email tonight for short stories of derp. Funny how that works. I'm majoring in machining in college, and I've had a few accidents or near accidents in the lab.
More slicing!
Keep in mind that lab shifts plus class can run for 6 hours straight, so unless you get yourself to take a break and get some lunch, you're likely to screw something up if you'll work straight through it. My first near accident almost cost me my left arm. I'd missed a safety briefing near the beginning of the lathe training, and since I'm right-handed, it didn't occur that you have to file left-handed or so the 50-pound cast iron chunk spinning at 500 RPM might suck you in. I got grabbed by the chuck a few times with that incident before the teacher ran over and smacked me upside the head. Doing so probably saved my life as well as my career. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lathes are serious business.
Yeah.
Lesson one. Never, ever miss a safety briefing and catch up with your boss/teacher if you show up late. Being marked late is being better than dead. Is better than being dead. My only actual accident came in the same shop that happened with the lathe. I was making an end cap for a very large steel tube, 9-inch diameter, 5-inch wide, attached to a 5-foot-long pipe, and the pipe wasn't exactly round. Now, because of the side, I was only holding about 5 square inches of the pipe with the chuck, and it had a very distinct and loud swing sound as the bits of metal came off. The teacher came over and gave me the thumbs up because I was only running it at 60 RPM, then told me to make the heavier cuts or I'd be there all day. Well, about 5 minutes later, I try deeper cuts, and I'm not feeling particularly good about it. The sound gets louder and louder, and then a small grinding noise as a 20-pound piece of steel pulls itself up into the tool and comes rolling out of the machine. Out of instinct, with which one I have no clue, I reach my arm out. It rolls up my arm, and I catch it in my elbow, calmly set it down on the lathe, and proceed to go outside and have a pang attack. Had the lathe been running at 500 RPM, I would have broken multiple bones, or the part could have come out of the machine and struck somebody else. With lathe work, aside from getting pulled into the lathe, the only other common accident is parts, or occasionally tools, flying out of it and striking people. It's considered a very serious mistake, and one that your classmate won't forget for years. Especially if you kill them.
They might wake up dead.
Lesson two. If your instincts don't break any laws or rules, follow them, and you're likely to be a safer worker. Sometimes your instincts say you're hungry, and taking a 10-minute break to sit down and have a sandwich can lower your stress and improve the quality of your work. The third story is just for shits and giggles. I never had a legal job. I've done hauling, recycling, day labor, construction, and also worked as an off-the-book shop assistant and janitor before at a high-end private auto repair shop. Not much experience with bosses, shall we say. Well, my boss walks into the shop one day and says, "Hey, why don't you work on a car? Go strip down that Porsche in the corner." Now, this was perfectly legal. It had been totaled during a track day, and he owned it. But anyways, I told him I was untrained, etc., but he told me to go ahead. I got about 5 minutes in before it caused around $600 in damage to parts that weren't even supposed to be out in the car but got piled on top. Got pulled off the assignment within a week because I was working too slow for his liking due to a lack of wanting to cause more damage. A week or so passes and he decides to hook up a massive air compressor, but he doesn't know crap about electrical. So he has me, unlicensed and untrained, do the wiring from a crappy PDF to convert the 440-volt system to a three-phase 2220 volts. It passed without incident. But then he decides to do an overhead air system with those drop-down coil hoses, and the ceiling is about 20 feet off the ground. He doesn't have a ladder, but what he does have is a forklift. Now I'm a damn genius on time. I told my boss straight up that I would not get up on the forks no matter what he paid me, so he gives me the keys to the fork and tells me I'll be lifting him. I, of course, replied that I was untrained and unlicensed. He gave me half an hour to practice before he slid a pallet onto the forks and climbed in.
On.
Now this is a great time to mention the fact that this is a high-end shop. It's filled with Porsches, Lotuses, BMWs, and some cars so rare I can't even mention them without drawing attention to exactly where I worked. And he refused to move them out of the shop for legal reasons involving parking spaces, so I'm 17 at the time, driving a forklift within feet of cars costing more than my house. My boss holding on to all the wrong places on the forklift so that if I nudge just the right control, he'll lose fingers. With 30 minutes of trading, it mostly passed that incident, but after a pair of near misses, I was never allowed to operate the forklift again. I soon quit this job and went into the machining program.
Wow, that guy was an idiot.
Yeah. Lesson 3. If you have to work on a car for the first time, pick a Chevy, a Ford, Toyota, or anything that isn't particularly German or expensive. You don't even want to know what it costs when you break something on those. Lesson 4. Electrical work isn't actually hard. Just make sure you understand hot from not, wear heavy insulated gloves, and make your repair codes compliant. Local libraries will have some home wiring handbooks that abide by your local fire codes. 5. Forklifts are large, dangerous machines. They look simple and light, but have more actual controls than most high-end sports cars, and weigh more than 9,000 pounds. Operating one properly takes weeks of practice, and you should not attempt to do so without formal training. 6. Just because someone's older than you, who may be your boss, tells you to do something, doesn't mean it's safe, legal, or generally a good idea. Telling them politely that you don't think it's a good idea, and confirming the order before attempting it might save you some hassle, will most likely not get you fired. And lesson 7, be honest to your coworkers and employers about what kinds of training you do and do not have. If you work at a large company, put in writing as soon as possible and file it with HR. Doing so, along with informing your boss every time he inevitably tells you to do something you're not trained in, will prevent accidents and legal pitfalls. Let's see, that's 3 stories from another person's derp, my former boss, and 2 of mine, plus 7 tips. If you made it through all this, I'll be a little surprised. Sorry if you're expecting a relationship derp. I'm afraid I can't resolve that information. It all happened back in high school and was extremely public. And I prefer to keep those years as mysterious as the Dark Ages. Oh boy, didn't think this was going to be so well a texty. Sorry about that. Matoko Yu. And that was a wall of text, but that's okay.
That was a good kind.
It passed without incident.
Yep. Nobody lost a finger.
Yay. All right. My last one, and then Fuzz's last one. Yeah. Oh my god. I'm not sure what the second word is supposed to go.
Apple.
A pearl?
I have no idea.
It's a something.
Omafosh Apple. Because he's talking about new school with Max.
Oh, okay.
Okay. It's story time again with an ink-tailed otter. Tonight's story is full of hearse and dearse, so please sit back and enjoy. When I started school in America, originally from Canada, in 10th grade, my new school was outfitted with Macintosh computers with OS X Tiger, or possibly lower. To be frank, I hated these machines with a passion. They were slow, the mice did only one click, and sometimes didn't even work, and I always get stuck with a spinning pinwheel of death. Never thought I'd miss the comfort of Windows 98 2000 back home. When it came time to take graphic design in my senior and junior years, I insisted on bringing my drawing tablet to work with because I was so frustrated. Even though these Macs were brand new, 2009 machines, I still hated them for the unfamiliar GUI and cluttered Photoshop interfaces. At the end of class, me and the teacher would get to talking about the difference between Mac and PC, and one of my biggest arguments was not being able to program on a Mac. I was an idiot at 17. Fast forward to December 2011. I'm in Best Buy getting some information about a tablet, and at some point, a salesman shows me the Apple products. Remembering only my crappy high school experience with Macs, I just roll my eye and figure nothing's changed. Lo and behold, I am wrong. After showing all the features, gestures, and the difference of how OS X runs programs being most impressive, I leave the store thinking about how if I ever got the money, I'd probably get a Mac. Fast forward again to February of this year, and my PC completely fails on me. Operating system crashes, hard drive, disk is cracked. After 4 years of service, my computer's completely boned. I came into some money for my birthday a week or so before and decided it's time to get a Mac. To my surprise, I could not only afford a MacBook Pro, but I could afford their top-of-the-line model, twice as powerful as any PC I'd come across at the time. You can probably guess what I decided on. Fast forward to just a week ago, I realized that if I'm going to take IT courses at a new technical school, I should probably have a baseline understanding of terminal commands for the basic Java. So I go out after work and buy myself a beginning program with Java for Dummies book and download some basic terminal tutorials. I followed instructions to get a JRE for my Mac, but suddenly I get a flashback to all the shit I said Macs couldn't do. Oh, God, why? I think I owe my high school graphic design teacher an apology after all I de-dirt my face. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the Wall of Text and learn something. Never form an opinion off of one bad experience, especially with technology. Your inky otter listener, Nicholas Scribetail. P.S. The PC got fixed by a friend and donated to a fellow writer in the group who is in need of a computer.
Yay!
Yay! Can you lift your leg for a moment?
All those filters, always boot camp. Or parallels would be even better for minor applications.
Okay. I know nothing of this.
Parallels allows you to launch Windows-based in a wrapper. Windows-based program in a, quote, and I'm saying this with quite a finger, it's wrapper.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can access the program's functionality while still running the OS X.
So it's a virtual machine?
Sort of.
Okay. On the subject of derp, plus a spooky story.
Ooh, spooky.
Hey, Notcast crazies. I have two stories, one of derping and one, old topic, but this just happened, of scary from me. The first one was when I was 6 or 10. I hope this isn't the one that just happened, otherwise you're a little young to be listening to this. I was at my cousin's house and she wanted to play, so we went to her room and I derped and suggested we put on a fashion show. Even back then, I was so gay I liked fashion. I had meant that we put her in cute outfits and she walk out all cute and sweet. She thought I would be dressing up to it, and that's how I ended up in a pink Barbie cheerleader outfit walking around my cousin's living room. My aunt taking pictures of me, and now everyone has seen me in a Barbie dress, in a Barbie dress friend's exes. God, I want to destroy that picture and all copies they have, but my mate wants to see it, and yeah. Now for a no story. It happened Sunday, July 8th. I was in town walking down the street. It was getting late and no one was out walking. We really need some punctuation in this part here. I was upset at a friend and needed to clear my head. Now I was passing a house I always pass in my walks to get ice cream. I call it the Burn House because it is scorched black, tarps hanging in the windows blowing in the wind because some of the tape fell off, basically in horrid condition. I stopped this time because in the evening light it looked kind of beautiful in that lonely sort of way. I looked at it and saw something I thought was completely illogical and unreal. I saw him. I saw the slender man standing in the window of the top floor, blank white face with no eyes, no mouth. Tall, I could barely make it out. I don't even know if it was the slender man. All I know is when he pointed at me, I ran. As I'm typing this, I'm thinking it's not real. Hope you enjoy that, even if you think it's bull, that scared the crud out of me. Well, that's it for me. I'm going to find out where those pictures of me in a Barbie outfit are, then burn them all. That bunny from Montana, Nicholas Damon. P.S., in clarification of the tingles Fuzzwolf's voice gives me, it is in my personal male genital area. I just didn't want to sound like a creeper, which I probably just did.
A little.
Nah.
Yes, the birdhouse.
We asked for clarification, or I did, and he provided it. So, yes. Okay, so what's the thing with the Slender Man?
I thought you said that it was a made-up thing.
It is. It came off something awful back in 2009 or so.
Oh, so it's a meme
it's
thing?
It's an online, like, it's... Okay, so here's your vocabulary word for the week. Creepypasta.
Okay.
Copypasta is the parent word of this, and is some... A copy and pasted story that's repeated over and over.
Uh-huh.
And creepypasta are stories, much like copypasta, that are designed to be creepy and scary.
Okay.
Slender Man was an idea, a creepypasta, that came off of something awful. I'm pretty sure. And told the story of this... tall, slender guy in a suit with no face.
Mm-hmm.
That he'd grab you and you'd disappear, or whatever. And then people ran with it, photoshopped him into old things, and then propagated it across the net. It was an intentional creation of a urban legend. And,
It's
creepy. I mean, the concept is creepy. A tall, faceless creature that can appear out of the shadows and make you disappear. You know, people have made a game called Slender, which is basically the player is put into a situation where Slender Man is stalking them.
Uh-huh.
And he's only there when you turn around.
Hmm.
So, like, you turn left and he'll be standing looking out from a tree, behind a tree.
Mm-hmm.
You have to run away.
You know, kind of like Creepy Watson in that Sherlock Holmes game. Yeah, but I mean,
it could just be, you know, there was a hobo in the house and pointed at you. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Slender Man. Creepy stuff.
Interesting.
Yep. It's always one of those things. It's like the one place that I always kind of gravitate to towards when I'm late night browsing as I go to the creepy paranormal board on 4chan.
Mm-hmm.
And reads. It's like I intentionally read scary things at night to creep myself out before I'm going to go to bed. Why do I do that? I don't know.
Because I like to be able to sleep, so I don't.
It's like, hey, it's a creepy GIF thread. Woo! Let's look at all the. Oh my god! Ah.
Son, you crazy.
Yep. So.
So, I don't really have anything to kind of close us out this week.
No, it's 11:30. It's late. I'm really tired. And I'm sure you are, too. And you got to go to work tomorrow.
Yep.
It's been a week. And if we sounded really tired on this show, it's because we kind of are. It's late.
It's been a really long week. It's going to be a long weekend because I got to work and then we got to drive and... I mean, tomorrow night will probably be fun, but I'm going to be so tired because I'm already so tired and I have to wake up for work. So.
Yeah, well, I got all the dealers tomorrow. All of them.
Yes.
Yep.
Yay.
Register all the dealers?
All the dealers.
All the dealers.
So, yeah. Okay, so that is all from us for now. You know. The quick rundown, our website is foxstuffers.com or notcast.com. You can email us at notcast@foxstuffers.com. Find our various accounts on LiveJournal, Fur Affinity, and Twitter under notcast. And we have an IRC channel. It's irc.anthrochat.net. Pound Notcast is the channel name. You can find me on Twitter at FuzzWolf2000 if you guys want to go ahead and give out your Twitter.
I'm Chimera, K-H-Y-M-A-E-R-A on Twitter.
I am Saverin Drake on Twitter.
All one word.
Also, go to iTunes and give us a rating or two.
Please?
It's been like 6 months since our last one.
Oh, well, we never pimp it. So.
Yeah, we never do. But if you listen this far and you like us, let us know.
Yeah. And watch the FA, because that's usually the first place that we post. It's often the only place that we post the topic. But a lot of times, Saverin will post the topic to FA, and then I'll end up copying it over to the Twitter.
All the twits.
Yep. Yes. And that's nice twits. And easy. So, hey, we're here at 2 hours again.
Yay!
Yay! So, on that note, good night.
Shiva, we're looking at you.
Okay, and pink balls.
That's right.